Okay, I've got 901. We'll call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this. For those of you participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you'd need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. And Commissioner Roulette, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
Surely I'll. Thank you. Father, we come to you today just humbled and just hoping that you put your hand on our court and that we make smart and wise decisions. We pray for everybody out there protecting us, that they do the job many times that we don't want to do. We pray for our country. We are in a time of turmoil, and we just need this country to come together. We all are Americans. We pray for all the animals out there, all the farmers and all the ranchers. We pray all this in your precious son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And the pledges to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen may be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? If I could, please. Yes. Yeah, right there is fine. Yes, ma'am.
As our place to retire. Me and my husband still actively work, and County Road 140 has been a gravel road since before COVID, and we're just wondering when it can be allocated and that could be re-blacktopped. It's a burden on our cars. My husband does not drive his truck down it. They go all the way to 142 and come back around, which is an additional 12 miles every day. So he spends an average of $1,400 extra a year to take care of that, to drive that way. I am hard-headed and I don't leave early enough, so I drive that gravel road every day, and I just spent $1,500 on rocker arms on my car. So I've tried, we've contacted the road and bridges a lot. They did come out very quickly and remove the trees when we had a storm, but when I asked for an estimated time of when we can have blacktop again, I don't get any comments or anything. No recall, and don't call that. So I'm just wondering if we can ever get that on the agenda to get that re-blacktop. There's several people that I know that live out there. We used to have probably 50 cars every morning drive past our house to go to Cove. It's the fastest way to get to Cove, 8 miles from my house to go to the county road to 116. Since this burden and everybody's going around 142, that road is completely potholed city because of the extreme traffic that's going on that small little short piece between 1783 and 140. That curvy part right in there, it's completely trashed with potholes now. So we're just looking for some answers because it's becoming a burden on our vehicles and on our pocketbook that we are having to. I need to replace my car, but I don't want to buy another new car with the road lines. So that was my complaint.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Cryer. We appreciate that. The court is prohibited from taking action on that as of today, but we will certainly don't want to put you on the spot. Is there, you want to respond to Ms. Cryer at all?
I'll reach out to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Carlisle.
Sir. If I pass out the little pricing sheet for this morning, for just a minute.
Yes, that would be fine.
I just want to kind of update you guys. I know it's at the last meeting. Mike Carlisle with Mantis and Mantis Energy. We spoke about the energy contract coming up, and we're looking to get pricing and things together at the last meeting and about our issue. And this we all have with problems with the energy bill. So we'll take just a second. I'm not on the agenda today, so I'm trying to get on the agenda for 2 weeks from today again. But just wanted to bring this update because I did have pricing today. And like I said, at this point, I'm still waiting on a couple things, a decision from the court from you guys. If we want to move forward, I'm looking at doing something with this meter issue here. We do have a state certified electrical engineer that's looking at the paperback, the information back on the billings and all that. So as we kind of move forward down the road on getting new contracts together, that would give us the opportunity to move forward as representative of the county and deal with Texas and Mexico and try to get that eliminated and back straight and repriced, reticketed, and back normal. But I do, for a little bit of time, very quickly, the rates today, these are good rates for today, or they're accurate rates. I understand we can't really act on this today, but just kind of – since I'm here, I want to go ahead and try to get everybody up to date on where we are. And we've been kind of watching the TXU rates because they were by far the best. And you can see on this, there's a couple different things spotted. The one that looks the best is that 113 months, which seems like a lot of time, but it's not a terrible amount of time. It's a good opportunity price-wise today. We dropped below 6 cents, which is 6.987. So that's really a good rate in this market. We've been up to 8 and back down, and I'm tracking this so when we do come together for a decision, I can kind of look and see where we're moving around on the market when we price the county. But just a FYI, that's the kind of rate we're looking at today, and it would be a good one. I'm going to try to get them on the agenda. You know, like I said, I apologize. I didn't realize. I didn't do follow-up enough to make sure I was on this agenda. I thought I was. But I can request that. Judge, you don't mind, I'll request that by email to Lisa today to get on the next agenda. And then we'll kind of go through this again and look and see if that's a good time to make a decision on moving forward. That's good with you.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that's participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are 4 items there. The court may consider the consent agenda as a whole or may choose to discuss any of those items individually.
Make a motion to accept consent agenda A, B, C, D.
Second.
Go ahead. Got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham and a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussions on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 6 on the agenda is the Road and Bridge Report. I believe we have Mr. Mannix here. We don't have Mr. Mannix here.
Well, I'm here, but I'm not for the Road and Bridge Report.
Okay. I believe Mr. Latham is away from us today. Okay. So with that, is there anyone that from the court has anything that they would wish to comment on as far as the Road and Bridge Report? Hearing none, we will move on to item... and Ms. Newton, if you would note for the record, no report given. Moving on to item number 7, which is to consider accepting irrevocable letter of credit number 1111 from Sabine State Bank in the amount of $158,153.54 for the road maintenance bond for Northern Hills Phase 2. I believe that letter went out to everyone. Before there's any action on that, Mr. Mannix, could I needed some clarification. I couldn't get it on Friday. I was I was confused as to whether there was one or two actions to take today.
I was confused also, Judge.
Okay.
this bond is made out to Northern Hills, which when you sent that to me, because Northern Hills is supposed to be getting me a new updated and performance bond also. This is actually the bond for Cedar Bluff. They just wrote the wrong name in there. So the action is for Cedar Bluffs to accept Cedar Bluffs bond, which the amount is correct. They just need to get the name changed, which I had contacted them this morning, and they're supposed to be working on that, getting me a hard copy of it.
The developer was saying an example, and they forwarded it to the bank, and they failed to put their subdivision in.
I was confused because I thought I received two bonds. I thought Northern Hills was giving me their bond that they've been trying to get to me. And
well, and they're trying to decipher, because I found it almost impossible that the amount would be the exact same down to the penny.
Me too. Okay. Thinking about it this morning. So,
all right. So, is it my understanding that Sabine State Bank is issuing a letter of credit for Cedar Bluff?
Cedar Bluff, yes, that's correct.
Okay. I would recommend to the court that we approve the letter of credit contingent upon the correction from Northern Hills Phase 2 to Cedar Bluff, in the amount of $158,153.54. And I think that would resolve our paperwork issue versus the timeliness of approving the letter of credit. Motion from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Mr. Belt, do you see any issues with taking the action in that manner? Okay, very good. Any further discussion on item number 7? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. And Ms. Newton, if you'll use the current letter as a placeholder, and we will get that updated. Item number 8 on the agenda is updating actions on grants to include, but not limited to, SS4A, Hazard Mitigation Plan, Resilient Communities Program, CDBG-MIT, and the FEMA under DR 4781, beginning with SS4A. Mr. Belt, do you have an update for us on that?
Well, Judge, we're just closing out that plan, the planning grant. Presently, we have a quarterly report due 20th of this month. I've forwarded information to CITCOG. They're following a consolidated report on that presently. And waiting to hear back here from Mr. Nelson on any additional information he needs. The plan was submitted, and so we're just closing out that hearing at this point. I don't know about the implementation. I don't remember when the
Did Mr. Nelson give you any, because I know we've got these quarterly report things. If we close out our portion and we draw that reimbursement, are we still required under the umbrella of that entire SS4A planning grant to continue to do quarterly reports on that?
We will have no updated information after this one. Hopefully, we're still trying to get our reimbursement portion finalized. I sent him the spreadsheet with our reimbursement items on it, and I haven't heard back from him. So hopefully, we can get that included in this quarterly report. Information that we will have to submit for the next quarterly report, and after that, they will still have to submit quarterly reports. But none of our data will change at that point because our plan will be submitted, our amounts will be closed out. So they'll continue to roll in his totals through the conclusion of the report. But we're not going to have anything else to add.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you for that. Anything else to add or to cover under SS4A? And Ms. Jordan, Mr. Manning had responded to the implementation grant being the notification approximately the August time frame.
Yep, we're still anticipating August.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Anything else to cover under SS4A? Moving on to hazard mitigation plan. Any updates under the HMP? I think it should be just getting the submission of those.
It's been submitted and accepted. We did get the FEMA has already approved it. We got that back in, I thought, record time cleaner than anything. I was amazed at the turnaround. So we have got our approval from FEMA already. And so at this point, it's just a matter of closing out the grant with the GLO. I talked with Tammy. Because you know me last name in the box. That's something to do. But talk to Tammy the other day, and we are coming up with a plan on closing that out. And she is, we have created a Dropbox folder that I have placed all of the required grant closeout documents in, with the exception of which ones are in our reimbursement portion of that grant. And I have attempted to document everything that we did to participate in the production of that. I think that I emailed that to you and Mr. Wood last week, maybe early this week. I don't know. I think it was last week. It could have been yesterday. And of course, Mr. Wood's, ever since I sent it, Mr. Wood's been out. So I'm waiting for him to get back to review that. And then we'll have that finalized, pretty short order. Going down this slide.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that. Any questions or comments concerning the RCP and the status there? Hearing none, we'll move on to CDBG MIT. Ms. Belt, would you like to update the court on that phone call from last week?
Not particularly. So the government's here to help us someday if we live long enough, which I'm not sure I'm going to. They're going to submit another request for information on our resubmitted application. The same request for information that we previously responded to. And they have decided that we're going to have to basically re-argue every one of the projects, whether they meet the requirements of benefiting the citizens in the block groups that we've identified as LMI. It is very frustrating, but we are working through it. And we have had about 100 emails the last 7 days, 6 days, with our team that's working on that. And we're getting close to, I think, today or tomorrow, we will submit the RFI and all the information that they requested. Jill's working on it. She's waiting on some points from Curtis with Walker Partners. They just this morning got the narrative that they needed from Copper's Cove to finalize our response to that request for information. So I think as soon as we get those GIS points verified, I think that's the last thing. So Curtis and Walker Partners are working on verifying those GIS points they had questions about, because the GIS points that were in the document didn't believe that they were the center of the project areas. So we are reconfirming those GIS points. That's what they're down to at this point.
You stated that very subjectively. I appreciate that. I won't be quite so subjective. I was in on a phone call, and or objectively, you said that very objectively. Subjectively, they are making it extremely difficult to receive funding in rural areas. And it appears to me that the model that they have set up for this is urban centric. So where they continue to ask for, you know, how many rooftops, you know, they were wondering about where these 25 rooftops are in one of these LMIs that stretches down to the Fort Cavazos area. Yet because one of the individuals that was part of this phone call couldn't identify rooftops along Bald Knob Road, she was under the impression that it wasn't supporting anybody in the LMI to the north side, or the census block tract to the north side of Bald Knob Road. And it carries throughout. I mean, it was just, if they could not identify rooftops, then they were wanting some, you know, well, there was just no other metric that they were asking for. They wanted to know how many people were serving, even though both Bald Knob and 274 had previously been approved under our prior application. So one of Mr. Belt's comments was, tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. Because there's not a narrative that we can give at this point that explains it any more succinctly and directly than what we've previously done. So Langford, as well as Mr. Belt, obviously Walker Partners, are they redoing a lot of work that has already been done to meet a standard, which I, from my standpoint, I can't tell you what that standard is right now. I don't know.
Well, we ask them when they can articulate it. So,
yeah.
Good times.
And as a reminder to the court, that is approximately $3.2 million worth of project funding that was derived from the flood events of 15 and 16 that was allocated specifically. The total amount was, I believe, 6.4 to be split between Milam County and Coryell County. And administered through the COG.
Is Milam County receive their money?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. So we continue to fight the good fight with CDBG MIT. Any questions, comments, concerns? Hearing none, we'll move on to the FEMA. DR 4781, we are registered in the FEMA portal. Our request for public assistance has been accepted and verified. I believe we are in the process right now of getting they call it a PDMG, and I don't remember exactly what that acronym stands for. Basically, it's a person that will work directly with Coryell County as we do project development. Verification of the damages and the overall impact. And so to that extent, I contracted with NRS to do some data collection and analysis for us. So they've done that initial piece. I believe they've been working with Road and Bridge as to packaging these, and a lot of that work had previously been done. So I believe once we have our initial phone call, which if you recall from the briefing, the client briefing we received from TEDM and FEMA a couple weeks ago, that will begin a 60-day clock. And that will give us 60 days to get these projects uploaded into the FEMA portal. Some of those being direct recovery projects, as well as some of those being applied for under 406, which would be mitigation. So hopefully we can enhance the safety of as many of these low water crossings as potentially feasible. So that is where we are with the FEMA update. We've also got several people have been given access, Mr. Mannix, Mr. Latham. Well, Mr. Latham had it. Mr. Belt's got access, Rachel, Lisa. So if at any time y'all have a question about what the status of it is, you can reach out any one of them has the ability to log in and see an update on that. Questions, comments?
Does the someone wouldn't need to do it, but still think that you know, we had the meeting in here, our fire park was here, some law enforcement was here. We still need to, I think, formulate a plan on gathering and assimilating that information. One of the fire department guys was by my office the other day, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, about something else, and asked me if he could just drop this stuff off there when they got it ready. And I told him that's fine, just drop it off there any time, and I get them like, you know, I'll get it up, and we'll figure out what we're going to do with it. Formulate a plan. And he must have told his friends because he got two more in the department. Which is fine, it's no big deal. I mean, I just getting it up. I've got a pile. So I don't know, you know, I don't know how we need to try to do that, but I think we need to. You know, they're supposed to be getting us this program delivery manager within 5 business days of the date that our public assistance was approved, which was by Monday. We ought to have one of the people. Within 7 working days of that, they're supposed to schedule an exploratory call to begin developing a relationship and prepare for the recovery scoping meeting, which is supposed to be scheduled within about 2 weeks of that exploratory call. And so I don't know, it's probably the next commissioner's court meeting, we'll have completed that exploratory call. And maybe then we can formulate a plan about gathering all that other information from all the other.
Judge, if I may. So I've got the sheriff's department's hours. They've given me some information. I need some more information from them, but some of those folks have been on vacation.
Sorry.
Just got back. So I've got part of that. I had not been working in the fire department, so I'm glad Mr. Bell volunteered for that. But I mean, it's going to wind up being a fair size amount of hours and some money that'll come back to those, to the county, to those entities, I think. So I don't know what the plan is on who's, I think that's where you're going, Counselor, where, who's going to pull all that together. But some there's got to be some central point. The thing that people aren't going to want to hear from 5 different folks about that, who's going to pull all that together? Did y'all, is the court considered how to do that?
I can say from my standpoint that I haven't considered how to pull that together. Historically, that's been funneled to us through the fire chief from Gatesville. You know, whether that continues, doesn't sound like it's going to. 2 or 3 of them have reached out to Mr. Bell individually.
You also got the sheriff's department got a good amount of overtime hours for all those flood events. Going to add up a little bit of money.
That no, we need to come up with a plan on how to centralize that, because ultimately I think that's going to end up being part of what the grant administrator that we're hopefully going to end up contracting with for them to manage that piece of it.
I'm still not seeing a proposed contract, a lot of services. Have you had any more communication with them, Mr. Lennox?
I have, no, I haven't received a contract yet.
I haven't seen what architects is yet either, so I don't know.
When are we going to start putting that information in?
They won't put anything in until after that. Well, they won't put anything else in until after the recovery scope.
I think that's actually your 60-day clock, so that's scoping.
Yes, it will be. I think we will come up with a plan at that meeting. So the next phase is the project development plan. It's a 45-to-60-day plan that includes a schedule of key steps to complete the project application development process, as well as a timeline to complete the scopes of work and cost estimates.
I believe we are well ahead of the game on developing the project scope of work and cost estimates. I think that's and that'll play in our favor. So the due outs that I see them is developing the process to gather and consolidate hours and costs for law enforcement and volunteer fire departments. And I believe that there is, there's a little bit of information that I've got to reach out to FEMA because there's a status. We're currently carrying a status that I don't exactly understand what it means. I'm not sure whether they're asking for us to take an action or they're waiting on them to internally take an action. But what the status says and then the reports that I have access to don't completely jive. So that may be a little bit of delay in why we don't have the PDMG already assigned. So, anything else we need to cover under the theme of DR 4781? Questions or comments? Okay. Moving on to item number 9, update on construction projects. Which direction we want to go first? We go.
Supposed to have the cabinets being installed tomorrow. The move date has been put back to the 19th of July. Once they get the cabinets in, they have to get the electrical and computer cables run to the cabinets, and then they have to wait for the state to do their paperwork, get all their stuff. So hopefully they have all that done by the 19th.
I walked through there yesterday. It looks good.
Mm-hmm. Everything looks good.
Yeah.
Except there's not any cabinets there.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw all the communication cables are dropped, so that should go pretty smoothly, I would guess. So.
Yeah, I figured they said a couple of days on getting the cabinets installed, and then probably a couple of days for the computer cables and electrical outlets and all that. And then there, once they get that done, then they'll start pushing the state work forward. But do their paperwork. He said it's pretty much just paperwork. They're planning the 19th to move. And he said that's his retirement home. He's not moving again.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Weddle.
Well, I'm just so glad that we don't have all the red tape that we have in this grant process, because it is, like Mr. Bell said, it's just very frustrating that they seem to work against us. We do have a little bit of it. The TMP, the permanent power, we've got the bill switched over to us. There's still a few other things with them. The fire alarm permits. This is all as of 7-2, so we haven't had a meeting since 7-2. Fire alarm permits are still waiting on the city to get their final approvals on that. if you guys have gone by there, I mean, you've seen it, it's going crazy. All the decking is being done, the border's being installed, insulation was starting last week, 80% of the sheathing was done last week, steel inspection was on 7/3/24. I don't think I've seen the results of that yet. Interior plumbing is about 80% finished, and the ramp and the stairs pour was scheduled for that day on 7/2. So as far as the parking lot, we're looking at just some curb and, you know, gutter removal to finalize that, to do the driveways in. And we're working with a couple of contractors on getting bids on that. You guys were a part of the interior color and water fountain design, and made a note. There was a deduct on some Schluter trim that we decided on the millwork that we didn't need. Everything is, we had a rather lively budget meeting on some just some value adds, and we set a goal out on the beginning of this project, and we are very close to approaching that value add number.
Yep.
Of getting down, just, you know, cutting a few boulders out, a few trees out, some of the millwork, you know, changing a few of the stamped concrete areas. That really won't change the, in our opinion, won't change the aesthetics of the building, and we just get a cost savings on it. But it's crazy. All the interior studs should be in now. So if anybody schedules a walkthrough, you should be able to really get a visual.
Yeah, or definitely get what size of the offices.
Yeah. Courtrooms. Yeah, and the one comment everybody says, ooh, that courtroom is it's going to be pretty expansive inside.
Very good. Commissioner Basham, anything to add?
Nope, I'll start.
Okay. Questions, comments, concerns over the construction updates project for the Leon Street Annex? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item number 10, or I'm sorry, is there anything else to cover under updates for construction projects?
Did you get my email yesterday from the quote for the server room? Did you get the printout that laid on your desk?
Mm-hmm. I know he got the printout.
Very good.
I'm sure I did. I just,
sorry, did I just thought
about that?
Yeah, and that is, we'll address that, you know, separately, because that is in the bill. We had two racks that are going to support the infrastructure of the courthouse. We're putting, I think, four additional racks in there for future proofing. You know, or at least we're going to put it up for y'all's decision, you know, to put the, go ahead and put those in there, have everything, you know, set so that when, and if we do decide to move the server, that is all, you know, ready to go. Be a lot cheaper to do it now than to retrofit it later. So we've been waiting on that quote. I'll bring the quote probably next time, and we can have F8 in here and they can discuss what will need to be done. That about the gist of it there?
So I think if it's 7 pages long, I'll have to look through it and then I'll quit it.
Okay. I want to thank you, Mr. Bell, and thank you again, Mr. Weddle. Anything else court wishes to address under item number 9? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to item number 10, which is to consider actions on items to support construction projects. Is there any actions that the court wishes to take this time to support construction projects?
Have none, Judge.
Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 11, which is to consider court order CC 2024-07, declaration of local disaster severe weather events recovery. It was my intent, again, this is the same template that previously used. It was my intent to continue the declaration of local disaster until such time that we have completed our project upload with FEMA. So that would be kind of the mark on the wall that once our projects have all been input into the system, and then just becomes execution portion of the recovery process.
I'll make a motion to approve CC 2024-07.
Second.
We've got a motion to approve court order CC 2024-07 from Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Bash. Any further discussion on item number 11? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 11 on, or excuse me, item number 12 on the agenda is to consider budget amendment number 11 for FY 2024, noting that this is a budget amendment from the general fund for pretrial diversion as well as SB 22 to the general fund and the Calgary County Attorney's Department under the specified amounts there.
I'm making a motion to accept budget amendment 11.
Second.
We've got a motion to approve budget amendment number 11 by Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13 is to consider setting the 2025 sheriffs and constable fees for civil services in accordance with Texas Local Government Code Section 118.131. A printout of the current schedule for fees was provided to you in your packets, and this is an annual requirement to update those. Sheriff, many of these are concerning your office. Is there any of these that you believe need to be adjusted from the current listings?
Given the rate of inflation, we might want to go into a bit much.
I know comparatively, I know we made several changes last year. I think on the large, on the animals and livestock specifically, I thought.
I believe over the last 2 years, FY23 as well as FY24, we made some changes. Like the writ of order of sale, those writs, we added on the additional, you know, $65 per hour to kind of limit,
right,
you know, the amount of time. I can't say that I've studied it that closely, but I believe we're probably market about on par with market rates to be charged. I can't begin to tell you, even with the fees that are charged, you know, have we, you know, what's been collected? I don't know what has been collected as far as those fees.
I checked with the constable and they didn't see any need to change their signature.
I personally don't see any glaring, you know, ones that we didn't address probably over the last 2 years.
I'd make a motion to approve the 2025 sheriff and constable fees for civil service in accordance with Texas Local Government Code 118.131 as posted in the packet.
Second.
We've got a motion to approve the current fee schedule for FY25, as stated by Commissioner Matthews, and a second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Let's have it, motion carries. Item number 14, discussion concerning the Sheriff's Department jail expenditures for FY2024. Mr. Wood had asked me to place that on there, and I did not realize that he was not going to be here. So I do not have an updated expenditure report to be able to provide to y'all to kind of go where we are. I do believe that we're still slated to, you know, straight line looks like we're going to be over budget. I have talked with Mr. Wood about some potential remedies for that. But we're still trying to look at all the options, all the impacts, to make sure that we're covering potential costs for those expenditures.
Judge, I talked to Mr. Wood briefly last week about the issue because of just the issue of not going over a department's budget. Because I think, you know, we've talked about it in the past. At least some of us have. I think we talked about it in court, but not always get there for a while. You know, within a department's budget, if, for example, excuse my budget, for example, I've got office supplies and office equipment. And I've got $3,000 in office equipment. I order a new computer and it comes in at $3,214.17. I'm going to pay for it. Doctor's going to approve the payment. Y'all going to approve it. It's going to get paid. I'm going to be over in my equipment. But my office supplies has got $3,000 in it. I've spent $1,417 in. And so at the end of the budget cycle, my department's budget is just fine. And me going over on office equipment is not a violation of the law. But when my entire county attorney's office budget at the end runs out of money, the law is crystal clear that the auditor nor the commissioner's court shall approve a warrant for payment out of that budget. And so me and Mr. Wood were just visiting about that the other day after the meeting in here about the, you know, y'all did a budget amendment for the jails to make sure that didn't happen in the jails budget. And we went over it again on the sheriff's department side. Because right now, and I don't remember the exact numbers, it's fine. But as we go and get closer to the end of the year, we just need to make sure that they're having that we don't get ourselves in a bind, because the closer we get to the end of the year, if we don't catch issues and remedy them with budget amendments, the closer we get to the end of the year, the only thing we got left is salaries. And of course, we're going to pay our people. Unless, of course, we don't address the issue and until we get right up to the end of the line, because like I told Mr. Wood the other day, there's a statute that says it is a crime. We issued a payment warrant for payment out of a budget that there's no money left in. And so I told him I wasn't going to let him do that because I don't want to prosecute him because I like him. But, and so I think that's probably the reason, I guess, that he had talked to you about this on the agenda to kind of look at. Because we do need to make sure, you know, it's the middle of July. We'll have another set of bills to pay, you know, at the end of July. And then we're not going to have anything left but August and September.
Right.
And so whenever we, because of the time it takes to put all the transactions in and close out the months, obviously, you know, June's probably not even hardly closed out yet. I mean, it's not closed out yet, I'm sure. It's not. And well, it was a holiday, and, you know, I doubt June's closed out yet. So we're dealing with May's numbers right now. But when he gets June's closed out, we just need to look at those and see
Yeah, because the I guess the budget should have been, I've got the end of May, it should have been 66.7% is where we should have been. And the total on the jail is 81.9. So yeah, it's obvious that we're gonna hit that point. Sheriff's Department, on the other hand. But I got to get with Mr. Wood because it could be a little misleading because we have the SB 22 money in there that we know has an encumbrance and it's showing 0.2%, you know, being paid. So it's probably, but they're sitting at 55.7%. when 66.7 is kind of the benchmark. I've also been talking to Mr. Wood, and I think maybe he's talked to you, and I believe the judge, it's on his radar about unrecognized gains within our budget, which could be interest on our different funds. It could be sale of property, which is an unrecognized gain. And can that money be utilized instead of going to other departments? You know, that money is just put in our general fund, and can we use those unrecognized gains to offset this?
Unbudgeted income, when it comes in, a special budget should be approved by the court for the inclusion of those unbudgeted income to be assigned. It doesn't have to be assigned to be spent, but it has to be recognized and put somewhere. It can be recognized and put in reserve. It can be recognized and put in an expense line item, you know, free debits and credits. I mean, it doesn't have to be spent, but it needs to be received, recognized, put in the budget, and then, like I said, it either goes to increase the reserve or fund balances, or it can be expensed.
Kind of like we do with our.
And so that's a different. There's a special provision in the statute about unbudgeted incomes.
Okay. We'll probably need your guidance on to see if we can. I do know that the interest that we've earned on the tax note, that's untouchable.
Yeah.
That has to go towards either reducing, paying for, or reducing the debt of those specific projects. Mm-hmm. We can't touch that. Interest income, if you will. But there is other, especially that, you know, since we've got a pretty good rate going right now.
So if, for example, a different issue, but kind of the same would be, let's say that fines in the county court of law, we budgeted $100,000 and we're at $150,000, for example. And so we missed the mark. So we could do a budget amendment without. There would be no special provisions or be no special considerations. It's just a regular budget amendment to change that amount in the budget on the income side from 100 to 150 and increase any line item on the expense side within the general fund in a like amount. That would just be a standard budget amendment. It would require a special budget like unbudgeted income because we had budgeted income for fines in the county court of law.
Okay.
We just missed it.
Yeah. Very good. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Figure out where those are, what needs to be done. And I don't know. I didn't talk to Mr. Wood specifically about the Sheriff's Department's budget, so I don't know where it's at. Exactly. I know, of course, we all discussed where the jails is and where it's headed. It's going to have some more attention from now mm-hmm. in the year, I think.
Obviously, the real challenge is to try to extrapolate that out to see what that number, you know, is going to be. The jail census has been looking great over the last, it's normalized, let's put it that way. So that has probably stopped some of the, you know, excessive bleeding. Yeah, I mean, I think I'll be interested to see what the June numbers lie. And I think that's when we're going to really have to get down to some nitty gritty. 2 months left.
Yeah.
But if anybody else, look in the budget and see if you see any areas. I think we're going to probably have to come up with 600 or 700.
Yeah.
Just my guess. Just a guess.
More or less.
Yeah.
And I think it's there. The part that I can't tell you that I've cracked code on is because we do have a couple departments historically come in considerably under budget. But again, we can't pull from those funds until the completion of the fiscal year to balance out.
That doesn't help us pay the bills as they come in.
So it's a matter of Yes, what areas can we legally pull from and recognize to be able to cover those expenditures? Okay, that's all I had. Any other comments, questions, concerns, things to add?
Sure.
Okay. Moving on to item number 15 on the agenda, which is to consider placing two patrol vehicles in the sheriff fleet. Commissioner Matthews.
Yes, I asked for this to be put on here. It's been discussed, I think, in two, three previous courts. It's been discussed. So I asked for this to be put on here, or the court will make a decision, yay or nay, and move on. That way we get it done or we don't. And it lets the sheriff and his staff know the decision. So we don't have to put it on another court.
The amounts that are listed in this spreadsheet, where did those come from? Specifically with the Tahoes, the settlement.
That's what the insurance company pays.
Does that include
$9,806.82?
Yeah,
that's what the insurance company
pays
on the
food record. Does that include our deductible?
That I'm not sure of. I could ask.
Matthew, on that, those are the check amounts that we got.
That's true, but in the general clearance.
Who wants to address the 10,000-pound gorilla?
Well, I was going to say, I don't know that we really have $38,690.40 available.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you that.
I can tell you more than likely we could have it available in the next budget. depending on what we do. But, yeah, I don't. Yeah.
That number should come down with the money that we'll get from the GIS. But it's still going to be 23,690.40 would be the difference that we've actually come off with between the insurance money and the GIS.
Well, I've talked with Dr. Pollard, and they're not going to purchase all three of those vehicles, and he doesn't have $15,000 to purchase those. So I'm still working with him on that, but yeah, I don't know that that's – I don't know we can rely on that to be the offset.
They have been sending invoice on too. Or if you want to.
Is
Just both of those vehicles that were totaled were part of the enterprise with the program. I had Mr. Wood a long time ago. He sent me some statements on those to review. And those two amounts there that are settlement are showing as our net proceeds from the enterprise that they sent us a check for in those two instances. Those are the amounts and net proceeds that they sent us.
Okay, so all right, so
we got two checks totaling $92,806.82 from Enterprise and deposited.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the budget here. So we did receive $500,000 in SB 22 funds. And I'd like, before we do anything, I think we've really got to get back with Mr. Wood and make sure. But if I'm correct, we had $500,000 in SB 22. We looked like we had encumbrances and allocated for the body cams and the in-car videos, $474,389.79, which would mean technically we have $25,610.21 of SB funds left to utilize this year, and vehicles and equipment that do qualify for that.
Yes.
So, now, based on that, we've still got a couple of working parts to this.
Yeah.
But 38,690. If we go with just these pure numbers and took out the, the 15,000. Yeah.
We're still, I think you can say about 10.
Yeah.
Think.
Yeah. We're sneaking up on it.
Yeah.
But and I believe we have to. If I recall, I mean, we have to expense those funds. I don't know if it was 12 months or whether it was within the budget year.
So we have budgeted expenditures that will be paid out of the Sheriff's Department budget to draw down all those funds. Okay. So we're not going to have to come up with a special budget for the $25,000 to point drawing down.
Right.
That's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, that's so
Mr. Wood, I think he's of the opinion that we should not pay for these vehicles this year out of our current cash because of our other situations. Yeah. We ought to just execute capital. Let's go borrow money. Well,
yeah.
Pay for them next 3 years or whatever. Terms of this. But
I know he reached out to him, but he never got back with me on whether.
Oh, yeah. And me and him did visit. We visited some about that. And we may need that $30,000 cash for the years.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what? It makes sense to me that we did go ahead and execute kind of the lease agreement and go ahead and make our first payment next fiscal year on that.
I'll just say from my standpoint that I don't think we've addressed 100% the funding issue for this. And I think we need to resolve that because we're walking a pretty fine line with some expenditures. I can't tell you, I can make a decision on this. If you're going to ask me to vote on this, I don't have all the information that I need to vote. that's so the options are certainly to table or to vote it down, to vote for it. Those are really what the options are.
I take it we are on number 16 now.
We're under number 15.
Okay. We do have discussion under number 15 as far as I'm concerned.
Does the court wish to take any action under number 15?
I'd make a motion table and get Mr. Wood again. He talked about some financing for it, so we just need to wait till he gets back.
Second.
We've got a motion to table item number 15 from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 15? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 16. Would be a follow-up to that, which is to consider budget amendment number 12 for FY 2024.
So just tell y'all over. I've talked about this a lot since I got this packet this afternoon. I haven't had a chance to visit about this any. I know this is planned because I saw it in here. And we talked about this as an option before he left. But based on the reading I've been doing about budget amendments recently, I don't have one fuzzy feeling about this. I think it raises a very interesting issue for the court is you have to have a plan, you have to have the ability to replace casualty losses. But the problem for y'all arises when there's not money within the budget to fund the replacement of those casualty losses, the insurance proceeds are not sufficient to cover the cost, which is probably you'll find yourselves in. Very interesting situation. But somebody asked me about budget amendment number 12, probably wanting to advise y'all that it's not an option. Because it is the creation of new expenditures without the thing you have to make an emergency finding to do it. And unless there's an exception somewhere, which I'll be more happy to look for. It would make me a lot more comfortable if you don't find the funds within the current budget. So I think that's completely doable. That's just a budget amendment. Replace casualty loss, a couple vehicles, and it's just doing business. But creating new funds to do it really is going to be an issue. No. It would be hard for me to articulate an argument that it's unforeseen that we have casualty loss in the vehicle. Or anywhere, any department for that matter.
We need to deny this.
Well, I mean, y'all don't have to approve purchasing vehicles to be funded by this, so
yeah,
I don't know that it's only addressed about anyway. But
no action
in case y'all are curious about future discussion on budget, it looks a lot like this one. I'm probably gonna have a bad attitude about it. I think we ought to find the funds elsewhere.
I make a motion to take no action on budget amendment number 12.
There's a motion to take no action on item number 16 from Commissioner Atkins and a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion considering item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 17 is a discussion concerning the extraterritorial jurisdiction ETJ agreement with the city of Coppers Cove. In the last meeting that we had with Coppers Cove, they indicated that they had recently executed an ETJ agreement with Lampasas County. And I provided that as a template to the court, which in essence says that, I mean, just as a whole, that Lampasas County is responsible for all plat and permitting approval within the ETJ. So basically anything outside the city limits of Coppers Cove that extends into Lampasas County, Lampasas County is responsible for that. Your thoughts?
I like it.
Yeah, I know that.
As long as you've got Coryell County name in it,
that's
I like it.
Yeah, that's one of the big sticking points.
Yep.
Maddox, you were you hung out this whole time. Now you're kind of back. Is that the way you also? I know you were very involved on this from the beginning. If it had this kind of verbiage where we had that, you'd be.
Yeah.
Since you're the one that has to deal with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Thanks for the county. It'd be better.
Okay.
But did you read over it?
I know you all have had some job with that. It's like the one I tried to get them signed 3 years ago or so. Right. I apologize to y'all. I have to wait till I signed one of those meetings. The reason I quit going a long time ago is I got plenty of things to do. I wouldn't waste my time going in there talking to them about something.
I got a long budget paying you
for
talking about it. So
I'm worried. So. I think I able to do this for 3 years. I don't know. Probably longer than that.
Longer than that.
Mr. Matthews, you like it too as well. I know you haven't been doing it.
Mr. Bell, the one thing I would ask you to weigh in on is that it doesn't mean today, but there is a provision in here that this agreement may be terminated by either Coppers Cove or Lampasas County, as an example, with written notice 45 days prior to the termination date. I'm not sure that language is appropriate since we are required to have an agreement with them. But I'm not going to split hairs over that today. I believe we do have this in a Word document, if I haven't provided that to you.
I've got one just like it in Word document. We're up ahead of the judge. So.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what I think. I have to look back and see. I don't recall our current agreement.
So with that, I just wanted get the feel for the court. Okay, there's no action to be taken. We'll get this something similar to this formatted and be prepared to take action on that, at our next commissioner's court. I would tell you that whatever we draft, I'll go ahead and forward that to the city of Coppers Cove for their input, because rather than us voting on things back and forth trying to get something, I think we need to get something that we agree upon in principle that we could action on. So,
I got one question. Number five there says notice of flight application, the county for the Fox City, the flight application. Copy of the flight application shall be sent to the city on receipt by the county. Do they have
just as good a job doing that as they've done with the just as good, maybe better.
I just wondered if they have the opportunity to.
I think it's just a point of information.
Okay, all
right, just sharing,
all right, because generally when I receive an application, that's pretty much my 30-day window,
yeah.
I didn't know if we had to wait for them to respond to anything or not.
There's no requirement within this agreement to, all they're asking for is that we provide them from an information standpoint, you know, information on new development.
Sounds good. Just want to clarify.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Glad you did.
Okay.
And Judge, while you're talking to them, I'm still welcome the opportunity to sit down with them at some point, why after Grover Ridge and anybody that wanted to consider a long-term plan for that area down there, especially the North Coppersco area, regarding long-term planning for some thoroughfares through there. Just development plans, just conversation about, you know, where, when, and how things are coming, because what they're going to continue to do is just like they've done, they're going to encourage people like B.R. Hort to come in there and buy property and do the green annexations to do what they want to do. And there is no plan. There is no plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like when B.R. Hort expanded that, whatever it is there, you know, when first coming to town on the right there, mm-hmm. on the north side of Lutheran Church, they expanded over there almost to that track, well, to the track that Cove ISD bought over there at China and
glass.
Yeah. You know, and that old glass road used to run plumb through there and whatever subdivision. But it got, you know, it got cut off and abandoned a long time ago, and they were fixing that D.R. Horton to smooth the property line right there. No room for anything in the future there. But they were kind enough, I think they did plat a road that comes out there and dead ends into that other property. So there is, but they weren't going to do it because they don't have a plan. I don't know how that was that big and have a plan. They don't. It's very frustrating to me.
Well, I know that they've got it.
When I'm in the east, you know, I don't care what happens to them.
Well, I know that they've got a transportation plan that covers a portion of that area because they have, in fact, templated where is it Big Divide? Big Divide becomes kind of an exterior loop connecting 116 all the way down to 190, or I don't know what they call it, whether it's I-14 or Business 190, but that, because they're trying to, you know, connect that corridor. Now, so I have seen a plan. I'm not saying it's a good plan. I'm not saying it's a bad plan. But I would certainly be willing to facilitate kind of a transportation outline meeting with them, because that could very well feed into our land use plan.
Well, you know, unfortunately, of course, you know this. We've all talked about this before. It's just like 140 and 142. Everything they do down there ends up affecting us somewhere because people are trying to get there. And they end up cutting down little dirt roads and cutting bridges, you know, Table Rock, Harmon, you name it, down through there, shooting through our little county roads. So everything they do down there, all their growth and development affects us and gets our little roads hammered when there's no plan of, you know, how people are going to get from here and there over time as things develop out. Because that won't be long. There ain't going to be no country left between 116 and went past the county line. Sorry.
No, I mean, that's with that. Okay, so so in conjunction with this, I'll contact Coppers Cove about the potential to, you know, have a joint meeting or discussion about what transportation looks like, their transportation plan, and what elements, you know, need to be incorporated into our decision making as far as the development of the ETJ goes from this point forward. Okay. Anything else to cover under item number 17?
Well, I'd just like to thank those of y'all that have invested the time, the 3 years.
It's a long time.
To finally, you know, choose to come to an agreement that has been, you know, that was mutually beneficial. So thanks for your. It seems like every time I talk to one of you two guys, well, we're heading down to an ETJ meeting, so I appreciate that.
Okay. Moving on to item number 18, pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $2,303,904.01.
Second.
Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 18? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Reports, Commissioner Matthews.
Well, I hope everybody had a good 4th of July. And just offer prayers out to those folks down south that got hit with a little bit of moisture or too much moisture and wind. So I think that's all I got.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Weddle?
I think I've said this before, but ever since I moved into Coryell County, I've been going to the fireworks display there in Gatesville. And I've been to a lot of fireworks displays in my life, but it's just it's a really top-notch fireworks display this year. Didn't disappoint as usual. And then, of course, coming from a big city where we used to go to fireworks displays and it took you 2 hours to get home, it's very nice to have about a 12-minute commute, where you're not just stuck in hours of traffic trying to get out of. I did the Freedom Festival several times in downtown Houston. It was just crazy. But anyway, that's all I got. It was a great 4th of July. We did get a little moisture, which was nice. I got about 3/4 of an inch over the last couple of days. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Basham?
Everybody had a good 4th. All pretty good.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Taylor?
About the same. Everybody had a good 4th. About it.
Very good.
I did reach out to Spark of Texas, and they're supposed to be emailing me stuff for the court to be going over to move forward with the courthouse master plan. So I get that information out for that to y'all and get that ball rolling.
Okay, very good. The only thing of substance I've got to add to my report is Mr. Wood has been in contact with Texas New Mexico Power. He's also reached out to a consulting group concerning our surge issue. And through some email correspondence, he has gotten Texas New Mexico to acknowledge that the 1,075-watt kilowatt or whatever that was, that the what are the things on the poles?
Transformers.
The transformers could not handle that, nor could our internal electrical panels be able to. They quoted two different numbers. One was 200. One was 250. By my Gatesville fifth grade math, 1,075 exceeds either of those numbers. So we're making some progress on that, which would have a significant impact on reducing. And so we'll continue to monitor that, pending any decisions that the court would choose to make on utilities going forward. But we want to address this. We believe we've got at least making progress on it to this point where the court wouldn't need to take any other action. That's the good news story. We do have a couple of items to talk about in closed meeting executive session. I will note that under item number 23, there will be no action to take there. However, pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to consult with the county attorney regarding pending litigation and a matter subject to confidentiality, to include but not limited to the case of Coryell County versus Patu Pharma. And as well, item number 22 is pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.0. Mr. Bell, I miscited the Texas Government Code for item number 22.
Yeah. Decision to close the meeting with regard to purchase and lease value real property.
You believe that's a defensible argument that that was a inerrant error?
Yes,
that there was no will? Okay. I will accept that legal opinion, and we will conduct a closed meeting to deliberate the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property. With that, we are in recess, and we will reconvene in the front conference room at 10:40. That should give you about 13 minutes. We're in recess.